Books. Excuse me? She loves books, she says, and leans in as if she's telling me secrets. Don't get me wrong, she loves wine too, but books are her guilty pleasure. Makes sense, I nod, still watching Kat. She's the smartest woman I've ever met. She's a member of Mensa, Addie says. She wouldn't have joined, but both of her parents are members, and it was expected. She did a lot of things that were expected for a long time. She doesn't do that so much anymore. Good for her. Exactly. Addie grins, just as a man's arm wraps around her shoulders. Hey, babe. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with you flirting with other men in your condition, Jake says with a smile, making her laugh. Jake, this is Mac. He was Kat's sexcation buddy a couple weeks ago. Nice, Jake says, and holds his hand out to shake mine. Couldn't stay away? It seems not. I get it. Jake kisses Addie's cheek. These women are hard to resist. Of course, it goes without saying that if you hurt her, the rest of us will kill you and make it look like an accident. Of course. Okay, then. Jake nods and rubs his hand over Addie's belly. She's kicking. She always does when you play, Addie replies. She likes listening to you. She doesn't really have a choice, he says. It's kind of loud. Here you go, Mac, Mia says, placing a plate in front of me. Ribeye steak with sautéed mushrooms, asparagus, and coleslaw. It looks fancy, I reply, my mouth watering. Of course it does. This is a fancy place, Mac. Mia winks and walks back to the kitchen. I cut into my steak, take a bite, and begin making plans for the proposal. Jesus Christ, this is good. Gonna ask her to marry you? Addie asks. The next time I see her, I reply with a nod. Damn, she's good. Of course she is. We don't pack the place just because he can sing. Yes, you do, Jake says and kisses Addie's temple. Speaking of which, my break is over. He walks away and Addie stands as well. I'd better go check on things too. Kat returns after they're gone. Everything they said was a lie. I grin. So noted. Is it good? I'm going to ask Mia to run away with me. Kat laughs and my gut clenches. Her face sobers when she looks at me. What's wrong? Nothing. You're just incredible. She ducks her head and wipes the bar with the white rag in her hands. Thanks for the wine. It was nice. You're welcome. Will you please do me a favor? Her eyes narrow and her lips purse. Maybe. Will you let me take you somewhere tonight? For the whole night? She asks with a squeak. No, just for a little while. I reach over the bar and tuck a piece of her hair behind her ear. I'd like to show you something. I've seen it, she says, raising a brow, humor shining in her eyes. Something else. She cocks her head to the side. Okay, but I am closing tonight. I'll wait. It's your time, she says with a shrug, but she's smiling as she walks away to fill more orders. I eat the rest of my meal, feeling full, both physically and emotionally, for the first time in a long time. What is this place? Kat asks several hours later as I lead her down the street from the restaurant, through some trees, to a little park that's hidden away. I had Chase come and string some lights and lay a quilt on the ground with an ice bucket full of wine. A friend of mine owns these buildings, I reply, holding her hand firmly in mine. This courtyard tucked back here has a great view of the city. I just wanted to show it to you. And the lights, blanket, and wine just magically showed up? I might have thought ahead, I reply, gesturing for her to sit. I just wanted to be here with you in our city tonight. It's a nice night, she replies with a sigh and leans back on her elbows. Not a bad way to unwind. Would you like a glass of wine? In a minute. She rotates her head, stretching her neck out, so I slide behind her and begin rubbing her shoulders and neck down her shoulder blades. God, that's good. You're still good with your hands. They're the same hands, I reply, resisting the urge to lean forward and lick up her neck. One thing at a time. I was surprised to see you today, she murmurs. I know. I'm not really big on surprises. I think I've figured that out, I say, and tug her back against my chest. I hug her to me and sit there in the quiet of the city, watching the lights around us. She doesn't say anything for a long time, but leans against me, enjoying the quiet. Finally, just when I think she's fallen asleep on me, she says, "Thank you for this." "You're welcome." "I want to ask you a lot of questions, but I'm too tired." I kiss the crown of her head. "When can I see you again?" "You know," she says with a chuckle, "that was technically a question, but it sounds suspiciously more like an already done deal." "Let's focus on it being technically a question. How do you know I want to see you again?" She tips her head back so she can see my face. "Because I'm adorable." "You're something." I kiss her forehead. "When?" "I'll make you dinner Sunday night. It's my night off." "You don't have to make me dinner. I can take you to dinner." "I'll make you dinner," she repeats, and leans her head back on my shoulder. "You're very argumentative." "I'm just used to calling the shots." "And that's fine, sometimes. But I have an opinion too, and I'm not afraid to voice it." "I like that about you very much." "Good, because it's not going to change, Mac." "Understood." She sighs and leans more heavily against me. "I could fall asleep out here." "Then I'd better get you home." "In a minute," she says, hugging my arms more tightly around her. "Just one more minute."
Chapter 7. Cat. Am I seriously sitting in Mac's arms in the middle of the night in Portland? What alternate universe is this? And how can he possibly be as comfortable as I remember him being? I thought for sure I was blowing it up in my mind, remembering how great his arms felt, how smooth his skin is, how his hands tighten on me in the most soothing way. But nope, it's all exactly as I remembered it. "I'll take you back to your car," he murmurs, his mouth pressed to the crown of my head. "I walk to work," I reply with a sigh, already hating the idea of walking to my condo. Not that it's far, but I'm tired and it's late. "Excuse me." "I walk," I repeat and tip my head back so I can look him in the eyes. He's frowning. "What's wrong?" "I don't think I love the idea of you walking home in the middle of the night in the city." I smirk. "Well, I'm a grown-up. I don't live far." "I'll drive you." "Okay." I shrug and lean my head on his shoulder. "That was easy," he says with a chuckle. "I'm not going to turn down a ride home when I'm this tired," I reply, and don't bother to stifle a yawn. "That would be dumb." "All right, then." He stands and easily pulls me to my feet. "Before you fall asleep on me, let's go." "You know, I don't know what it is about you that makes me so sleepy." "I'm boring," he asks with a laugh. "No, you're definitely not boring. I'm just usually not this tired. I survive on 3 hours of sleep a night." "No one can survive on that," he says as he leads me to his car and opens a passenger door for me. I lower myself into the seat and sink into the plush leather. "I survive on it," I reply when he settles behind the wheel. "I always have." "Well, you slept well in California," he says with a smile. "That's my point." I shrug and watch the streetlights as Mac drives. "What's your address?" he asks. I answer and Mac whips his gaze to mine. "No way." "Way?" he shakes his head. "What?" I demand. "That's my address as well." I turn to face him, frowning. "You don't live in my building." "It seems I do," he replies, rather than pull up to the curb to let me out. He parks in the parking garage, exits the car, and opens the door. "Welcome home." "Seriously, you don't live in my building." "Cat, it's 3 in the morning. Trust me when I say that I'm not inclined to lie about where I live at any time of day, but especially right now." I scowl as he stalks away from me toward the elevator, punches the up button, and waits for me. "But I know everyone in this building," I reply, stumped. And then it hits me. "Unless you're the new guy in the penthouse." He simply smiles and gestures for me to precede him into the open elevator. We had a lot of fun in the elevator in California. I bite my lip and stare at Mac's hands. Damn, he's good with his hands. Earth to cat. Yeah? I glance up to find Mac grinning at me, and I can't help but laugh. I'm sorry. What were you saying? Where did you go? I'm here, I reply immediately. What floor are you on?
15.
Just one floor below me, he says and punches the button for my floor. Convenient. Maybe, I reply with a sigh and shake my head when he raises an eyebrow, asking me to repeat myself.
So you just moved in?
Just a few weeks ago, he confirms with a nod.
What do you think so far?
I love it here, he replies simply. I've lived in Portland for most of my life. I've been wanting to move closer to the office for a while, and this place opened up.
She died, I reply and walk out ahead of him when we reach my floor.
Who?
The woman who used to live in your condo.
I unlock my condo and turn back to Mac, not intending to ask him inside.
Do you want to come in?
What the fuck, cat? I blame the lack of sleep. His lips twitch. You don't have a poker face.
I don't think I'm playing a game with you.
He laughs now, his whole face lighting up in a smile, and it's all I can do to keep myself from licking him.
Because seriously, does he have to be this hot? It's ridiculous.
To answer your question, he says, lightly touching my cheek with his fingertips, no, I can't come in tonight.
Okay, see ya.
I turn to walk into my place, but he catches my arm and pulls me back to him.
If I come in tonight, I won't leave until tomorrow, and I promised myself that I'd take it slower with you.
Mac, I reply with a sigh. It's fine. You don't have to come in. I'm tired, and you're tired, and it's all fine. Honest.
He searches my face for a moment, looking for what, I'm not sure, then nods. But before I can turn away again, he pins me against my door and kisses me with the heat of a thousand suns. It's not hard. It's not long. But oh, sweet God in heaven, it's hot. And then he's backing away. Sleep well, cat.
I just nod and walk into my condo, shutting the door behind me. Holy shit, I mutter, and immediately step out of my heels, leaving them by the door. What a day.
I shake my head and immediately start stripping out of my work clothes, leaving a path of fashion behind me on the way to my bedroom. I've been in Mac's loft because I used to help the lady who lived there with her email. I think she was secretly fine with electronics. She was just lonely. That loft is much more open than mine. I opted to have my bedroom closed in with a nice big closet and ensuite bathroom. But his living and kitchen areas are similar to mine, wide open space with the urban look of an old warehouse. I love this place. I bought it when the building was going up a few years ago. It's the best thing I ever did. And now the hottest man I've ever met is on top of me. I stop and cover my hands over my mouth, trying to hold in my giggle. That's what she said, I smirk, not concerned in the least that I'm talking to myself. Having a conversation with yourself is perfectly healthy. Besides, I'm the only one here. Who else would I speak to? I pull on some yoga pants and a tank top, sans bra, pull all the pins out of my hair and brush it, then pull it into a ponytail so I can scrub my face. The fact that Mac lives in my building could be an issue, I say to my reflection in the mirror as I wash my hands and get ready to wash my face. I mean, what if whatever it is we're doing doesn't work out? What if it ends badly and we can't stand the sight of each other? I'll have to move. I scrub the makeup off my face. I don't want to move. I love my place. And I finally have a good amount of equity in it. It just doesn't make financial sense to sell right now. I rinse my face and pat it dry with a towel. But why should I have to be the one to move? I ask my reflection as I lather on my night cream. I mean, I was here first. If he's uncomfortable, he should be the one to leave. I nod once and then stop staring at myself.
Jeez, this whole patient and counselor thing probably isn't great when it's for yourself. I sigh and shake my head. You should just call one of the girls. Maybe you just need to talk. I nod again and walk out of the bathroom to my kitchen. Addie used to always be up this late, but she's probably in bed by now since she's 100 months pregnant and all. I reach for the wine in the fridge. Maybe I should pour two glasses, one for me and one for me. I laugh at myself pouring just one glass. Cammie and Landon are probably in bed, so she's out. I walk across the room and sit in my favorite chair. It looks out my floor-to-ceiling windows, so I can sit and stare at my view. Riley's not a night person, so she's asleep. I can only hope that Mia's in bed too, because if anyone needs a good night's sleep, it's her. I take a long sip of wine. If the roles were reversed, what would I tell one of them, I wonder? I would tell me to stop overthinking it all. I overthink everything, and frankly, it's a pain in the ass. It's probably why I can't sleep most of the time, because I never let myself stop thinking. But now that I'm not with Mac, I'm wide awake again. I set my glass aside and reach for my e-reader. Hello, friend. I wrinkle my nose. That's a little pathetic. Well, maybe not pathetic, but weird. Your e-reader is one of your best friends. I pet the leather cover and smile. But I have lots of friends in this thing. Reading is what I do, and I can't sleep. I open it up, turn it on, and open my reading app. And I definitely can't sleep now, so I'll read. The book I'm currently reading is about a man who owns a shipbuilding company in New Orleans. He falls in love with a psychic woman, and man, is she funny. Romance novels are my favorite, but I'll read anything I can get my hands on, even cookbooks and biographies. But no horror, I can't read those, too scary. Only planning to read for a little while. I get swept up in broken water lines and sexy banter, and the next thing I know, I look up and the sky is a light gray. The sun is going to be up in less than an hour, and I haven't been to bed yet, which is normal for me, but if I'm going to survive Saturday night at work, I'd better get a nap in. But rather than make the journey to the bedroom, I curl up in the chair and close my eyes, hoping that sleep will take over. I have the mother of all kinked-up necks in the history of the world. Not only did I sleep, but I slept in the same position on the chair for a whopping 5 hours. I'm going to pay for it for the rest of the day. Damn. Not to mention I'm running later than I would like to getting to work. It's still early afternoon, but it's also Saturday, which means we'll be busy tonight. I consider taking my car to work today, and then shake my head. It's a short walk, and by the time I find parking near the restaurant, I'll have been better off walking anyway. But just as I step off the elevator into the foyer of the building, I almost run smack dab into Mac. Whoa, he says, gripping my shoulders and steadying me. Sorry, I look up and feel my mouth go dry. He's been running or biking or something because he's dripping in sweat. And holy hell, the pheromones coming off of him are ridiculous. Cat. Did he say something? I'm too busy staring at his naked chest. Are you okay? Fine. I blink and shake my head, making myself come out of this embarrassing fog. I'm fine. I'm just a little late. It's not even 2, he replies, checking his phone for the time. I like to get there early. We'll be busy. What's wrong with your neck? I look up in surprise. My neck? Yes. Slept wrong. I reply and rub the sore muscle on the right side of my neck. But suddenly he brushes my hand out of the way and begins to massage my neck. Right here, in the lobby, for all of the world to see. You don't have to do that. I don't mind, he says, and I almost purr in relief. It's a bitch of a knot, I reply and lean into his touch. I tried heat, arnica, you name it. Won't go away. Ibuprofen? He asks. That too. I sigh when he stops and turn to offer him a smile. Thanks. But don't touch me again, because if you do, I'll drag you back up to my place. Or his place. Any place, really. He nods. You're welcome. Are we still on for dinner tomorrow? Yes, I reply with a smile. 6:30. Be there.
Oh, I'll be there.
Maybe wear a shirt, I say, not embarrassed in the least.
You don't like me without my shirt?
I take a moment to examine him from head to toe, then shrug my good shoulder. You're not bad. He cocks a brow.
Not bad.
I can't hold my smile back any longer. I don't want dinner to burn because all I can do is stare at you.
I'm not a fan of burned food, he says, nodding as if this is a grave problem. Sure it is, then.
Great. I give him a big smile. See you tomorrow. He waves and watches me as I leave the building, walking faster than usual. I need to get to work, and I need to get away from him. He oozes sex. It's seriously not fair. I like him, Addie says. He's fine, I reply, making sure my kegs are all full and ready for this evening. My expertise is in wine, but we serve a lot of beer as well, and I prefer local brews. I can't believe I keep missing him, Cammy says with a frown. He was only here twice, I remind her. In one day, she says and then smiles. He likes you. Of course he does. I smirk and look around to make sure no customers are within earshot. I give one hell of a blowjob. Atta girl, Addie says, raising her glass of lemonade in salute. Not just that, Cammy says, rolling her eyes. When do you see him again? Tomorrow. I'm making dinner. I try to ignore the look that passes between my friends. Cat, Addie says at last. That's me, I reply. Honey, you don't cook. I glare at her. That doesn't mean that I can't cook. Can you? Cammy asks with sincere interest. Of course. Addie smirks. Right. I don't because we have Mia, and no one cooks like Mia. I set out some fresh seduction coasters, trying to keep busy. I will not kill the man. What are you making? Cammy asks. I don't know. I sigh and hold my head in my hands. Maybe I should have taken him up on his offer to take me out to dinner. But I panicked and offered to cook for him. And I can cook, but I haven't in a long time because I'm always here. I think it's sweet, Addie says, reaching for a maraschino cherry. I slap her hand out of the way. Those are not for you. You can't come between a pregnant woman and food, she says, malice glinting in her eyes. If I want that cherry, I'll have that cherry. That's what he said, Riley says as she joins us. What's up? Why can't Addie have a cherry? She's had 16 already, I reply, sliding the cherries out of Addie's reach. It'll make you sick. They would be better on a Sunday, Addie says. I'm going to go see what Mia baked this morning. She slips off her stool and waddles into the kitchen. Is it me, or did she get bigger overnight? Cammy asks, watching the door Addie just went through thoughtfully. She gets bigger by the hour, I reply with a smile. It's pretty great. It's pretty great that it's not me, Riley says, then slaps her hand over her mouth and turns to Cammy. I'm so sorry. I would never say something to hurt your feelings. Cammy shakes her head and pats Riley on the shoulder. It's okay. I know you didn't mean anything by it. Cammy lost her and Landon's baby earlier this year, just before they got married. You should hear about Mac anyway, Cammy says. Did you do Mac again already? Riley practically shrieks. Careful, I don't think the customers across the restaurant could hear you, I say and roll my eyes. But no, I didn't.
But she saw him twice yesterday, once today, and she's making him dinner tomorrow night.
You're cooking? Riley asks with surprise. Why can no one believe that I can cook? I ask, throwing my hands in the air. I have an IQ of 150.
That means you're smart, Cammy shrugs.
I can read a recipe, for God's sake.
What are you making? Riley asks.
I don't know.
Do something simple, like Caesar salads or something, Cammy says.
Good idea, Riley adds. But now my competitive side is screaming, and I want to try something more challenging. Maybe I'll grill steaks.
You don't own a grill.
Maybe I'll make chicken parm.
Just order something from Mia.
I glare at my best friends. No, I'm going to make it. They both look at each other and then shrug. Good luck, Riley says.
You'll be great,
Cammy says with a supportive smile.
And if it's a disaster, you can always order pizza. You're both so encouraging, I grumble, but they just laugh. Maybe pizza doesn't sound so bad.
Chapter 8, Mac. I've seen her 3 times in the past 24 hours. None of them was on purpose. It's almost as bad as torture. We're having dinner tonight, only 6 more hours, and I'm going mad with want. I want her, plain and simple. I'm itching to touch her, to explore her little body, rediscovering her. And running into her in our building throughout the day is painful. I've decided to get out for the afternoon and meet Chase to shoot some hoops. Maybe I can sweat her out of my system. Not that sweating helped yesterday when I went for an 8-mile run. Dressed in workout gear, I grab my wallet and keys and head out. Once I get to the lobby, it shouldn't surprise me to find Kat waiting for the elevator as I get out. She's everywhere, and yet, not once before Friday did I ever run into her. Is the universe just trying to torture me? Hi, she says with a smile. We meet like this a lot. Seems to be that way, I reply, and have to make myself not reach out and touch her. You're a busy woman. I just went to the store so I can cook you dinner. She grins, and just like that, I'm hard as a rock. I have to get this under control before I meet up with Chase, or I'll never live it down. Do you need any help? Oh, no. She shakes her head and walks past me into the waiting elevator. I've got this. I'll see you later. She winks, just as the elevator closes, and I'm tempted to say, fuck Chase, and follow her upstairs, but decide to work on my patience instead and go meet my brother. You're late, he says 10 minutes later when I find him on the basketball court at our gym. Only by 5 minutes, I reply, and catch the ball when he throws it at me. For the next 30 minutes, we play a pretty rough game, working ourselves up into a sweat. What's wrong with you? He asks as he steals the ball and lays it up easily in the basket. Your head's not in this. I'm fine. You're thinking about the girl, he guesses correctly. Admit it. I'm not actively thinking about her right now. It's a lie. I'm thinking of her every minute of every day. Right. Just shoot the fucking ball. I've been shooting on you. It's not fun when your opponent doesn't even try. I smirk, steal the ball, and shoot, sinking a 3-pointer. See? I'm fine. Have you seen her? He asks, and we resume playing. Several times. Turns out she lives in my building. No kidding, Chase says with a smile. That's convenient. Maybe. I shrug and try to block his shot, but he makes the point anyway. Good shot. Why would it not be convenient? If this ends badly, it could get awkward. You mean if you screw it up and she hates you? Hey, he's right. I could totally screw this up. Actually, you're right. I know. He shoots and misses the basket. We're having dinner tonight, I say. I can't wait. I want to get my hands on her. Chase smiles. You've got it bad. I don't have anything, I reply. I'm not a kid. You don't have to be a kid to have a crush, Chase replies easily. And you, my friend, have a crush. It's just dinner. I bet you don't even make it through dinner before you fuck her. Again, not a kid. I can have dinner with a woman without attacking her. At least, I've been able to in the past. Kat is a whole new thing, though, so he might be right. Not that I'll admit that. Boing! What the fuck? I glare at my brother and rub the side of my head where the ball just hit me. You're not paying attention, he says with a smile. You're going to pay for that. In your dreams, he taunts, just the way he did when we were kids. So I roll up my proverbial sleeves, move Kat to the back of my mind for now, and settle in to kick my baby brother's ass. This has been the longest day of my life. I ring Kat's bell and wait, flowers in hand, for her to answer. She's always dressed so colorfully, I can't help but wonder what she'll be wearing tonight. But when she answers, she's not at all what I was expecting. Rather than her usual rockabilly style, she's in short cut-off denim shorts showing off her legs. Her black tank top is a bit big, so she has a gray sports bra on under it. Her hair is in a knot on top of her head, with pieces that escaped framing her face. her clean, void-of-makeup face. "You're beautiful," I murmur, as she steps back to let me through the door. "I'm a mess," she says, and blows a piece of hair off her forehead. "Dinner was a bit of a disaster, so I had to order in." She blushes adorably and bites her lip. "I'm just happy to spend some time with you, Kat. I don't care where the food came from." "Well, I tried my hand at a recipe that I've never made before, and it didn't work out well. There might have been casualties." She closes her eyes, as if she's seeing the horrors in her head all over again, and I pull her in for a hug. "That poor pork loin didn't know what hit it." "I trust it was dead to begin with," I reply and pat her back soothingly. "We can hope," she replies, making me smile. Damn, she feels incredible pressed against me. Too good. I have to make it through dinner. So I pull back and offer her a smile. "What do you need?" She frowns. "I don't need anything." "Are you sure?" She blinks up at me as if she's confused, and then her eyes soften and she smiles. "Thank you for offering, but I'm fine. As long as you don't mind that I'm dressed like this." "I told you, you're beautiful. You can be dressed in anything at all and still be beautiful." "You're a charmer." She winks and walks ahead to the kitchen, gesturing for me to follow her. "Your place is nice." "Thanks." She smiles at me from across the island. "Do you like your place?" "Love it." I nod and accept the glass of wine she offers me. "I liked this one when we were in California." "I know," she says, turning the tables on me from Friday when I brought her the bottle she enjoyed. She pays attention, and I'm not too proud to admit that I like that about her. I like that a lot. Suddenly her smile fades, and we're just staring at each other. I can't stop taking in her red hair, her freckle-covered shoulders, the way she bites that lower lip. Finally, she's the one to look away. She pulls containers out of plastic bags. "This was just delivered," she says. "I hope you like Mexican food." "My favorite," I reply, and jump in to help her dish up our meals, then join her at her table. "You didn't have to do this." "I promised you dinner," she says with a shrug. "The girls didn't think it was smart of me to offer to cook, and it turns out they were right." One failed attempt at a pork loin doesn't make you a bad cook. "Well, it was pretty bad," she admits, and finally starts to laugh. "You should have seen me. I was panicked." She shakes her head and takes a sip of wine. "You could have called me." "Can you cook?" "I'm not too bad," I reply. "I'll return the favor soon." She dips a chip in salsa, takes a bite, and sighs in happiness. Exactly the same way she does when I'm inside her. Without giving it another thought, I grip the back of her neck and bring her to me for a kiss. Her lips are soft, gently moving beneath mine, giving in to me, letting me set the pace. I want to lift her onto this table and fuck her blind. But instead, I pull back just a bit. My lips are still touching hers. We're both panting. "I want you," I murmur. "I've been wanting you for weeks." "Okay," she says, making me grin. "But we have to wait until after dinner." And with that, I pull away, leaving her with a frown on her pretty face. "Why?" she asks, and reaches for another chip. I sigh and shove my fingers through my hair. "I'd really rather not say." "Well, now you have to say," she says with a smile. "My brother Chase doesn't think I can keep my hands off of you long enough for us to finish our meal." Her eyes sparkle with interest. "Is that so?" I nod. "You know, I have quite the competitive streak." "Is that so?" She smiles and nods slowly. "So I'm going to stay over here, and you're going to stay over there, and we're going to eat this whole meal. Please tell me you didn't make dessert." She laughs. "If we make it through dinner, I am dessert." I inhale sharply, watching her carefully, but she doesn't blink or blush. She just takes another bite of a chip and drags her toes up my calf. "If you keep touching me like that," I begin, "I will fuck you on this table, and Chase can suck it." "You can fuck me on this table," she says, "but not right now." "No," she shakes her head. "Maybe that can wait for breakfast." I groan and eat faster, not even tasting the food, desperate to have her. My skin is on fire. I want her so badly. I've never been this hard. Finally, she takes the last bite on her plate, and we carry the dishes to the sink. Finished? I ask. I think so. I can do these dishes later. I don't give her a chance to complete the thought before I pick her up, heading toward the bedroom. She wraps her legs around my waist, her arms around my neck, and kisses me frantically, as if she's been starving for me. I don't make it to the bedroom. I pin her to the wall next to the doorway, grind my cock against her center, and pull her hair out of its knot so I can weave my fingers through it. I tug her shirt over her head, toss it on the floor, and moan when she buries her face in my neck and bites. Hard. You want this? I breathe into her ear. We really need to discuss how you phrase questions, but fuck yes, I want this. You said you liked it when I take charge in the bedroom. We're not in the bedroom yet. I grin down at her. Technicality. I carry her into the bedroom, lower her to the bed, and finish relieving her of her clothes. You're way overdressed, she says, panting hard, watching me with bright brown eyes. I'll get there, I reply, and immediately hit my knees to taste her. I've missed this. Holy Christ on a crotch, she groans, gripping onto the bedding with all her might as I lick and nibble her lips, up to her clit and back down again. She's so fucking wet. I bury two fingers deep inside her, making a come-here motion and hitting the spot that I know drives her wild. She doesn't disappoint me when she begins to thrash her head from side to side. Her feet are planted on my shoulders, and she's lifting her pelvis as if she's offering herself to me. And I'll gladly take her. I shed my clothes, grab a condom from my pocket, and climb over her, kissing her belly, her side, her breasts, on my way to her mouth. I love that she'll let me kiss her after I've gone down on her. It's the sexiest fucking thing. In me, she pleads, cupping my ass in her hands and pulling me to her. She's much stronger than she looks. You're in a bit of a hurry this evening, Red. Hell yes, it's been weeks, she says. Is it wrong that I'm slightly relieved that she hasn't had sex since the last time we saw each other? Not wanting to explore that line of thought, I kiss her until she's melted into the mattress, then reach between us and guide myself slowly inside her. She gasps, grips onto my shoulders, and rotates her hips, rubbing her clit on my pubis and making my eyes cross. Fucking hell, Cat. You feel so good, she moans, and opens those eyes to stare up at me. I want to ride you. I'll never complain about that, I reply, and roll us, supporting her ass in my hands as she steadies herself, and then it's all I can do to hold on to her hips as she rides me hard and fast, chasing her orgasm. She's fucking amazing to watch, and I'm thankful for this well-lit room as I watch her face. She bites her lip and her cheeks flush. You blush beautifully for me, I murmur, and cup her breasts, gently pinching her nipples. Your whole body blushes. Redhead side effect, she gasps. You can squeeze harder. I grab her hands and pull her down flush against me, pinning her to me. You can be as sassy as you want out of the bedroom, but you don't get to call all the shots in here, sweetheart. Her lips part in surprise. That's right. I roll us again, turning her onto her stomach and slap her ass. I'll squeeze, bite, and slap as hard as I want, unless it hurts you or makes you uncomfortable. Want my safe word? I stop what I'm doing and brush the hair out of her face so I can look into her eyes. You have a safe word? She nods. Popcorn. I smile. Why popcorn? I hate it, she smiles back, and I'm not afraid to use it. Jesus Christ, she's amazing. She constantly surprises me. I can't get enough of her. Good, I reply, and lick my way down her spine to her ass. I bite the plumpest part of her cheek, making her gasp. I don't want to leave marks on you. I don't mind. I slap her ass harder. I don't want to leave marks on you. It doesn't sit well with me. But there will be times that I want to be a little rougher. I like it rough, she says, and gasps again when I plunge two fingers inside her from behind. I think we're going to like it every way, I reply, and leave wet kisses on her back as I ease back inside her. But I don't want to fuck her hard. Not tonight. I want to revel in every contraction of her pussy, every moan. So I take my time, pushing in and out, making us both completely nuts. I'm going to come, she says, and bites the pillow. I speed up now and reach under her so I can press my fingertip to her clit and watch as she explodes. Yes, baby, I croon to her. When the convulsions of her pussy begin to lighten, I push in as hard as I can and ride out my own orgasm, then collapse next to her. Holy hell, she murmurs. My thoughts exactly.
Chapter 9. Cat. I haven't slept this well since California. I rub my eyes and roll over to find Max sprawled next to me, sleeping soundly on his back. Even when he's asleep, with a 5 o'clock shadow, he's a fine specimen of a man. I think scientists should study him. Maybe I should have been a scientist after all. I glance over at the clock and feel my eyes widen in surprise. I slept 8 straight hours. Sure, it's only 5 in the morning, but I slept for 8 hours. I gently kiss Max's cheek and slip from the bed, escaping to the bathroom to do my thing. I feel amazing. Well, aside from some sore, unused muscles that got a workout last night, but even that feels good. I wash my hands and stare at myself. No makeup, hair a mess, in a tank top and yoga shorts that I nabbed on my way to the restroom. I think I'm glowing. I bite my lip and grin. Yes, there's definitely a glow there. I lean in to look closer, frowning when I see the beginnings of crow's feet around my eyes. Despite the wrinkles, I look fantastic, rested and well-sexed, which is exactly as it should be for a woman in her mid-20s. I just need to get an eye cream for the wrinkles. I mentally add that to my to-do list. Just don't get attached, I whisper to myself. This is still a sexcation. Be the mature adult you are and don't get used to him, Cat. This isn't fiction. Just because he looks and acts like those men in your romance novels doesn't mean that really exists. I glare at myself, as if I really mean what I'm saying. Because I do. I've been involved with a man once or twice before, one I even considered staying with for a long time, before he admitted to sleeping around behind my back. I'm married to my job. Men are there to scratch an itch. Cammy and Addie just got lucky. Keep it together. And with one final stern look, I pad out to the kitchen to make a cup of coffee and curl up in my chair with my Kindle. It's not often that I see this time of day after sleeping. I'm usually going to bed about now. Interesting. I finished my sexy New Orleans story yesterday, so I opened one of my favorite books, one that I read every year, and dig in. Before long, I'm transported to another place, submerged in other people's lives, woven by the magic of words strung together in the perfect way. Good morning. I jump about a foot in the air, my Kindle falling to the floor, and look up into sleepy green eyes. Good morning. I didn't mean to startle you, Max says with a small smile and picks up my coffee to take a sip, then scowls. This is cold. He walks away, clad only in his little black boxer briefs, to the kitchen. You didn't startle me. I retrieve my Kindle and set it aside. I can't take my eyes off him. He moves effortlessly, completely comfortable in his own skin. And he should be. His skin is fucking amazing. He makes another cup of coffee, adds a little more sugar than I would, walks back to me, staring at me with those bright green eyes over the rim of the mug, and suddenly I'm lifted out of my chair. Mac takes my seat and settles me in his lap. Liar, he murmurs and kisses my cheek. What are we talking about? I whisper, reaching for the mug of Java and taking a sip. It doesn't matter. He says with a smile. How are you this morning? I'm great. I shrug and look out the window to the west hills of Portland. The sun is shining on them, making the green extra bright like Mac's eyes.
I slept 8 whole hours,
I inform him, settling against his chest. He is a tall and broad man, and I feel surprisingly comfortable here.
Good, you needed it.
I guess so. You wore me out last night. I grin up at him.
Are you complaining?
No way. I smile and take another sip of his coffee.
How did you sleep?
Not bad. I woke up in the night to check the locks on the door and answer a text from Chase, then came back to bed and slept until just a little while ago.
You and Chase are close?
He nods and kisses my temple.
He's only 2 years younger than me. Sometimes he's a pain in the ass, but we're pretty tight.
Are you close to your parents? He pauses, dragging his fingertips up and down my arm. He gives me goosebumps.
No,
he replies after a long moment.
Are you close to your parents?
I want to keep asking questions, but I don't want to pry. If he wants to talk, he'll talk. I love my parents. I begin and sip his coffee, trying to find the right words. They gave me many advantages when I was young, and I think they love me the best way they can.
What does that mean?
He asks with a smile.
It means that they're awesome, but they are consumed with their work and charities and their life.
I shrug.
And I'm okay with that because I have the same things going on. Do you see them often?
A couple times a year, I reply and kiss Mac's cheek.
Mom calls me every Sunday evening and we talk for about 10 minutes. They keep a townhouse here in Portland, but they're based out of L.A. That's where their lab is. They're good people, highly intelligent, and if I ever needed anything, they'd be here. I just haven't needed anything.
You're incredibly independent. He tucks a piece of my hair behind my ear.
I always have been. I don't have siblings. I have always been able to entertain myself and to solve my own problems.
Doesn't that get exhausting? He asks quietly.
I bite my lip.
I've never thought of it that way. He kisses my temple again. Then Mac takes my Kindle out of my hands and wakes it up.
What are we reading?
One of my favorites, I reply with a yawn.
I reread it all the time.
And then, to my utter surprise, he begins to read aloud, and it could be the sexiest thing that I've ever seen. His voice is deep and smooth. As he reads the words effortlessly, his free hand glides gently up and down my back, soothing me. He's really very good at soothing me. I tuck my forehead against his neck. I can hear the words. I can feel the words. I'm wrapped in a thick blanket of my favorite story, and I've never been so content in my life.
Mac reaches the first sexy part of the story, and he pauses as he reads silently ahead, then continues.
The hand on my back tightens just a bit, and it's the only indication he gives that the words are affecting him.
But suddenly he stands with me in his arms, and still reading, carries me back to the bedroom.
You like this part? I ask.
I like this part.
He sets the Kindle aside and proceeds to show me just how much he likes it.
Hey, Owen. I smile at him as he takes a seat at my bar. How was your weekend?
We had a great weekend, he says, nodding when I pass him his favorite drink. I took Jen out of town for a couple of days.
Where did you go?
Just to the beach, he replies and wiggles his eyebrows. It's a good thing we had a great view of the water from our room because we didn't leave the room much, if you know what I mean.
Good for you. I offer him my fist to bump. I'm so happy that he did that for the two of you. I'm sure Jen appreciated it.
Oh, trust me, she did. She couldn't keep her hands off of me.
I grin.
Good job. Where on the beach did you go?
Cannon Beach.
That's my favorite, I reply happily.
It's less than 2 hours from Portland, but when you're there, it feels like you're in a completely different world.
I should go over there sometime soon. It's been a while.
You definitely should,
Owen says with a nod. Mac walks into the bar, and I feel my whole face light up.
I guess I'm not the only one who had a good weekend, Owen mutters,
and I roll my eyes, then join Mac at the other end of the bar.
Hi,
I say.
Hello, beautiful.
He replies and reaches over the bar to tuck a piece of my hair behind my ear.
How are you?
I'm great.
Not much has changed since I saw you this morning. I look closely now and see that despite his smile, his eyes look a little sad. What's wrong? He simply shakes his head. How late will you be working tonight? We close at 11 on Mondays, I reply. But I could probably get out of here around 9. No hurry, he says. Just text me when you get home. I'd like to show you something. Really? I bat my eyelashes, trying to make him smile. I believe you showed that to me this morning. Well, I wasn't thinking of that, but yes, that, and something else too. I don't love surprises, I reply, but then immediately feel like an ungrateful brat. But thank you. You'll like this one. He winks and backs away to leave. That's the only thing you came in here for? I was in the neighborhood, and I wanted to see you. Those both sound like good reasons. He smiles now, and I want to ask him again what's wrong, but I don't. This is my job, and it's not my place to try to pull emotions out of him that he isn't ready to share. I'll prod a bit more this evening. So I take it things are working out for you and Mr. Sexcation, Owen says after Mac has left. We're not doing too bad, I reply with a wink. Now tell me more about your sexcation. Oh God, please stop saying that word, Riley says, rolling her eyes as she walks into the room. I don't want to hear about anyone getting laid. That's because you're not getting laid, I remind her. Thanks. She narrows her eyes at me and, standing behind Owen where he can't see her, tugs her bra up higher around her. That's hot, I smile and cross my arms watching the show. I'm cordless, she says grumpily. She's wearing an adorable teal top with lace on the arms and shoulders. I can't wear a regular bra with this shirt. So you're strapless, I say, correcting her with a laugh. Whatever, it's effing uncomfortable. Sorry, Owen. He just shakes his head and takes a sip of his drink. It's never a dull moment around here. My cell phone buzzes in my pocket. I frown down at Grace's name on the caller ID. This is Kat. Hi, it's Grace. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to make it into work today. My little boy's running a fever, and I'm taking him to urgent care now. I close my eyes and watch my early night with Mac fly right out the window. But that's what you get when you own your own business. It's okay. I hope it's nothing serious. Thank you so much, she says. I can hear tears threatening. I can't imagine how scary it must be when your kiddo is sick. I'll be in tomorrow. We'll play it by ear, I assure her. Just get him feeling better. You're the best, Kat. Thanks. I hang up and glance at Riley. Looks like it's just me tonight. I can stay and help, she offers. It's fine. Mondays are usually pretty tame. I laugh when Riley readjusts herself again, not caring in the least now that Owen can see her. Maybe you should go home and put on something more comfortable. She sighs. That sounds like heaven. If you need me, just call and I'll come in and help. I nod and blow her a kiss as she leaves. Addie's out today at a doctor's appointment. Cammy's working from home. Even Mia took the day off, which never happens. So it's just me in charge tonight. I shoot Mac a quick text. It's going to be a late night for me. I'm sorry. Rain check? Owen pays his tab and walks out of the bar just as I get a response from Mac. Text when you get home. I don't care what time it is. I smirk. He's in bossy mode. I'll never admit it to anyone else, but I love his bossy side. I shoot him a reply. Okie dokie. For the first time since I opened the bar, I can't wait for closing time so I can go home. It's past midnight when I finally slog my way up the elevator to my condo. I'm exhausted. Of course, it was this Monday that we got busy and I was short-staffed in the bar. I didn't call Riley back because she'd already put in a full day. I managed, but damn, I'm tired. I walk into my place and drop my bag and keys on the table by the door, kick out of my shoes, and pull my phone out of my back pocket. Part of me hopes he's asleep so I can go crash on the bed for a few hours. I'm home. Sorry it's so late. We got busy.